The following is a lecture entitled The Amazing Pastimes and Teachings of Sri Narada Muni, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on June 14th, 2012, in Melbourne, Australia.
Vandeham Sri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Paran Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamsha. So, tonight we have a very, very exciting nectarian topic. The amazing pastimes and teachings of Shri Narad Muni. Narad Muni is the original astronaut long before NASA or Russia, you see, began their space program. Narad Muni, he's already traveling in outer space. He doesn't require airplane, he doesn't require Sputnik, he doesn't require a visa or passport, you see. He's called liberated spaceman, you see. His story is actually very amazing. Prabhupada said we should all tell our story for Bhakti Godhead magazine, how we came to Krishna consciousness. So Narada Muni has the most amazing story of them all, actually. Very, very amazing story. How he became to Krishna consciousness. Actually, previously, in a previous life, he was a pop singer in the heavenly planets. Upa Barhana was his name. And he went to a big assembly. The demigods, they're devotees of the Supreme Lord, actually. So they were having a Sankirtan festival to glorify the Supreme Lord. And he came there with all of his female followers, just like the rock stars now, and like the Beatles, they had all the Beatlemania, all the girls screaming and running after them, you see. He had his entourage of female followers, Upa Barhana. So he came to this Sankirtan festival with all his female followers, and he began singing demigod songs instead of, you know, Sankirtan, Nama Sankirtan, the Supreme Lord. So he got cursed to become a Shudra. The demigods weren't very pleased with the way he was spoiling the atmosphere of the Sankirtan festival. And they cursed him to become, this is described in the Bhagavatam, they cursed him to become Shudra. So, how does he appear in the first canto of the Bhagavatam? Srila Vyasadeva is actually, he's sitting in the, just as the sun is rising, he's sitting, he's taken his morning bath, he's concentrating on the Supreme, very deeply absorbed in meditation. But he's feeling great despondency. Srila Vyasadeva, he's called Trikalagya. He can see perfect past, present, and future. So he's seeing in this Kali Yuga, how everyone will become so materialistic. He's feeling great compassion. These acharyas, they feel great compassion. They are not selfless. I mean to say selfish. They're very selfless. They care about the sufferings of other people. So for seeing the great suffering of the people so much engrossed in selfishness, he was feeling that even though he had taken the original Veda, Yajurveda, he had subdivided it into the Atharva, Rig, and Samavedas, and Yajurveda, and entrusted it to various personalities to develop the different departments of Vedic knowledge. He had, even for the less intelligent, the women, Vaishyas, and Shudras, which were all in that category nowadays, he compiled the Mahabharata, called the Fifth Veda, you see. So in story form, one could learn about Vedic wisdom. But still, he didn't feel complete. There was something missing. He knew there was something missing. So at that time, you see, his spiritual master appeared, Narada Muni appeared, and revealed to him, you have not given exclusive glorification to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he got the clue to compile the Bhagavatam, you see, from his Guru Maharaj. Sri Narada Muni. So in the course of this conversation, the Narada Muni tells Vyasadeva how he became a devotee. So it's a very, very wonderful story. This was actually not, this was in a previous lifetime, in a previous day of Brahma even. That means there was a partial dissolution of the universe, but still he had a very clear, lucid memory of that previous lifetime. How he had been born as the son of the maidservant, and during the rainy season, he had gone to the forest. The sages were stopping there, traveling, spending some time there in one place. So he would go, and he described that once by taking... Actually, we'll read directly the words of Narada Muni. He describes this very wonderful, how he came to Krishna consciousness. O Muni, he's addressing Vyasadeva. In my past life, in the last millennium, I was born as the son of a certain maidservant engaged in the service of brahmanas who were following the principles of Vedanta. When they were living together during the 4 months of the rainy season, I was engaged in their personal service. Although they were impartial by nature, those followers of the Vedanta blessed me with their causeless mercy. As far as I was concerned, I was self-controlled and had no attachment for sports, even though I was a boy. In addition, I was not naughty, and I did not speak more than required. Once only by their permission, I took the remnants of their food, and by so doing, all my sins were at once eradicated. Thus being engaged, I became purified in heart, and at that time, the very nature of the transcendentalist became attractive to me. Just see the potency of prasadam. And that's amazing. Just one bite, you see, of prasadam completely transformed him. That's how powerful is prasadam. Then he continues, O Vyasadeva, in that association, by the mercy of those great Vedantists, I could hear them describe the attractive activities of Lord Krishna. And thus, listening attentively, my taste for hearing the personality of the personality of God had increased at every step. This is the great power of hearing about Krishna, you see. If you take prasadam, just see the formula of Narada Muni. Take prasadam and then hear about Krishna. The prasadam purifies you, puts you in a pure state by taking prasadam, and then you hear about Krishna. And what is the result? In that purified state, if you hear about Krishna and you hear about the devotees of Krishna, you see, then your taste for hearing becomes multiplied times 10, times 100, times 1,000, times 10,000, times 100,000, times 1,000,000. In this way, your taste, you see, shraddha ruchi, the taste for hearing just expands exponentially. And by that expansion of the taste for hearing, the mundane rasa, that taste for mundane sense gratification, just fades away. You see, even someone who is very much addicted to sinful activities, illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication and gambling, if they will take prasadam, like Narada Muni did, and they will hear the transcendental glories of Krishna and Krishna's pure devotees, and they will go on hearing, then the most amazing metamorphosis or transformation will take place. So this we can study in the life of Narada Muni, how he became a devotee. And we can follow in his footsteps. Well, I think I can take prasadam. I think I can handle that. And if there's some nice discourse going on about Krishna and his pure devotees, I would like to hear that, you see. Let me hear. Let me take prasadam and let me hear. In this way, we can follow that golden road of unlimited devotion that Narada Muni has blazed through the wilderness of Kali, you see. We can follow the Narada Muni Marg, And actually, we are in his sampradaya, you see. He is our spiritual master. We are in the sampradaya of Narad Muni, you see. He is one of the chief acharyas in our Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So we are actually his disciples. Great, 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 grand, grand disciples, you see. Very many, we are his directly connected with him through the parampara system. So it's very, very wonderful and auspicious to meditate on this great saint, to beg for his mercy, to see how he became Krishna conscious, even though he was a pop singer, you see. To see how he became the great liberated spaceman who can travel anywhere and everywhere at will to bless the fallen souls with Krishna consciousness. So now we'll go to the next sloka. O great sage, as soon as I got a taste for the personality of Godhead, my attention to hear of the Lord was unflinching. And as my taste developed, I could realize that it was only in ignorance that I had accepted gross and subtle coverings, for both the Lord and I are transcendental. So how much do we realize that we're not our bodies, Prabhus and Matajis? And see, how much do we realize it? Is it theoretical? Or do we actually experience our spiritual identities as we're sitting here and hearing about Narada Muni? By quality hearing, we can gradually do exactly the same thing that Narada Muni did. We can realize I accepted these gross and subtle coverings simply due to ignorance. That's how I'm simply ignorance. Next verse. Thus, during two seasons. This is special mercy because, see, normally the sages will stop off their travels during the Chaturmasya, you see, during the rainy season. But he got double mercy. They stayed an extra season after the rainy season. That's really special mercy. Krishna reigns. The sages stayed for the rainy season and the autumn season there, and they stayed for two seasons. Thus, during two seasons, the rainy season and autumn, I had the opportunity to hear those great-souled sages constantly chant the unadulterated glories of Lord Hari. As the flow of my devotional service began, the coverings of the modes of passion and ignorance vanished. So there's another hint for us aspiring devotees, you see. Now we're servants of our senses, but we want to be devotees, don't we? We want to really be devotees, you see. Of Krishna, not devotees of my tongue, my belly, and my genitals, you see, like we are now. So we, just by hearing this wonderful narration, to see how he did it, how he became free, you see. He went on hearing the great-souled sages constantly, who were constantly chanting the unadulterated glories of Lord Hari. In the flow of devotional service, this reminds us of a prayer by Kunti Devi. She's praying that just as the Ganges flows to the ocean, may the flow of her bhakti flow to Krishna's lotus feet, you see. So this is very nice, the flow of devotion. Remember back in the 60s, there was a saying in the hippies, it was, go with the flow. But there's two flows, you see. There's the flow of the senses, and there's the flow of bhakti. So we would say, choose your flow carefully, because you're going to flow. That's our nature. We are flowers by nature. So which way are you going to flow? You see? Are you going to flow to the material nature, or are you going to flow to the spiritual nature? And that flowing will take base by how you associate. If you associate with mundane things, if that is your interest, then that's where your consciousness will flow. If you flow with Krishna and Krishna's devotees, Krishna Katha, Hari Katha, Kirtan, Prasadam, if you flow in that direction, then you're going to get the awakening of pure bhakti within your heart. Actually, we say reawakening, because actually you're already a pure devotee. Previously, you were an eternal servant of Krishna in his transcendental kingdom. But as explained in the Prema Vivarta, Krishna Bhairamukha, when you turn your face away from Krishna, then you got Maya grabbed you and gave you a big slap. So now we're just getting back to our original position. This is not artificial. You see, to be Krishna conscious is not something artificial. Well, they're trying to impose something on me. You see, trying to convince me to join their cult. No, we're trying to convince you to quit the cult called the repetition of birth and death and be your natural self again. You're a brainwashed cult member, you see. You've been brainwashed by the material society to think, I am male, I am female. What do you mean I've been brainwashed? Yes, you were. And you came out of the womb, they said, oh, it's a boy, it's a girl. That's the first thing you heard. Look, it's a boy, it's a girl. You were brainwashed from the very beginning to misidentify with a gross lump of matter. So now, come out of the brainwashed cult of the material society. Come back to your liberated position. This is called the Krishna consciousness movement, following the footsteps of Sri Narad Muni. Next verse. I was very much attached to those sages. That's very important. The more you become attached to the sages, the more you become detached from the material nature. The more you become attached to the sages automatically, because they are fully connected with Krishna, the more you're attached to the sages, the more you become attached to Krishna automatically. Even though we can't see Krishna directly, we see the deity, we see the painting, but you can see the sages. And because the sages are fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness 24 hours, by becoming attached to the sages, automatically you become attached to Krishna. That's how Prabhupada got us all, you see. We didn't know who was Krishna, but we knew who was Prabhupada, you see. And because of that attachment to Prabhupada, we become very attached to Krishna. So I was very much attached to those sages. I was gentle in behavior, and all my sins were eradicated in their service. Just see the potency of Vaishnava Seva. Doesn't matter how sinful we may have been. We may have been Jugai and Madai. Murderers and rapists even, you see. But simply by serving the devotees of the Lord, all of one's sins become eradicated. He says, In my heart I had strong faith in them. I had subjugated the senses and I was strictly following them with body and mind. As they were leaving, those Bhaktivedantas, oh, isn't that wonderful? They were called Bhaktivedantas. We have our Bhaktivedanta also, you see. Just like Narada Muni had his Bhaktivedantas, we have our Bhaktivedantas. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, you see. By getting connected with Prabhupada, it's so wonderful thing. It's so wonderful thing. Just by that moment's contact with Prabhupada. Even one moment's contact with Prabhupada, you see. You can get unlimited mercy. So as they were leaving, those Bhaktivedantas, who were very kind to poor-hearted souls, instructed me in that most confidential subject, which is instructive of the personality of Godhead himself. In other words, the sages, the great souled sages, don't give you something different. They simply give you exactly what Krishna says. That's all. They don't invent some new modern teaching. They simply present the pure message of Krishna. This is called parampara system. Evam parampara praptam nirmam rajarshayo vidu, you see. This is how to understand the science of Krishna. You have to understand it through the system of disciplic succession. If there's a guru who manufactures something, immediately get out of there as fast as you can. Because he's not going to connect you with Krishna, he's going to connect you with Maya. Next verse. By that confidential knowledge, I could understand clearly the influence of the energy of Lord Sri Krishna, the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of everything, by knowing that one can return to him and personally meet him. We actually get that proof. You say, how do you know Krishna is God? Well, we'll get solid evidence just by following this process. We'll be able to meet him directly. That's coming for anyone who follows this pathway with full sincerity as given by Prabhupada in his books, what is the system of bhakti? Anybody who follows these teachings given by Prabhupada will have that wonderful moment when they will personally meet Krishna face to face. And Prabhupada wants each one of us to come. As I've many times quoted, Prabhupada told me personally, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So this is a process that we're doing right now. It's not just some religious organization. It's not just some, you know, spiritual social club or some program for becoming pious. This is a program of how you can become personally qualified to meet God. That's what we're teaching here. This is a science of how you can become qualified to personally meet God. Next verse. O Brahmana Vyasadeva, it is decided by the learned that the best remedial measure for removing all troubles and miseries is to dedicate one's activities to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. O good soul, does not a thing applied therapeutically cure a disease which was caused by that very same thing? Thus, when all a man's activities are dedicated to the service of the Lord, those very activities which cause his perpetual bondage become the destroyer of the tree of work. Whatever work is done here in this life for the satisfaction of the mission of the Lord is called bhakti yoga, or transcendental loving service of the Lord. And what is called knowledge becomes a concomitant factor. Concomitant factor means it accompanies it. Knowledge, when you engage in devotional service, you automatically become knowledgeable. You see? Knowledge is a concomitant factor. It accompanies bhakti. When you actually have bhakti, then you get knowledge. This is confirmed in the Mundaka Upanishad 1.3. Yasmin vyagate sarvam evam vyagatam bhavati. When you realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you have perfect knowledge of everything. While performing duties according to the order of Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one constantly remembers him, his name, and his qualities. Let us all chant the glories of Vasudeva along with his plenary expansions, Prajumna, Aniruddha, and Sankarshan. And thus he is the actual seer who worships in the form of transcendental sound representation the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, who has no material form. O Brahmana, thus by the Supreme Lord Krishna I was endowed first with the transcendental knowledge of the Lord as inculcated in the confidential parts of the Vedas, then with the spiritual, opulences, and then with his intimate loving service. So the service is even more high level than the knowledge, you see. First thing he got was transcendental knowledge. Then spiritual opulences, and finally, intimate loving service. So that's the perfection. Just like it's described that a Vaishnava has all mystic powers. But that's not a very important thing, you see. The highest thing is the intimate loving service of the Lord. And then it continues, let's see, in the next chapter. Sri Vyasadeva said, What did you do, Narada, after the departure of the great sages who had instructed you in scientific transcendental knowledge before the beginning of your present birth? O son of a Brahmin, how did you pass your life after initiation, and how did you attain this body, having quit your old one in due course? O great sage, time annihilates everything in due course, so how is it that this subject matter, which happened prior to this day of Brahma, is still fresh in your memory, undisturbed by time? It's interesting. Prabhupada used this very example in one letter that I happened to read when I was in Vrindavan one time, that Prabhupada had written to a disciple. Prabhupada said that after you go back to devotee, one of you will remember our activities, our devotional activities we're doing now. Will we remember them when we go back to Godhead? I see. Will this all be forgotten? The things Prabhupada said, we will remember them. When you go back to Godhead, you remember your devotional activities just as Narada Muni was able to remember. We will also be able to remember. And Prabhupada actually told us that we'll have another ISKCON in the spiritual world. I was thinking, what it'd be like, you know, it'd be amazing. Everybody's in their rasa, you know, gopis, gopas, calves, cows, but we all know, oh, there's an ISKCON cow, there's an ISKCON gopi, there's an ISKCON gopa. We'll be able to recognize all the ISKCONers. And we get back to this in Goloka. It's pretty interesting, you know. Well, there's my spiritual master, there's one of the GBCs. You know, it'd be interesting. I mean, it's going to be very, very exciting to go back to God. And so whatever we have to do, whatever austerities we have to do of giving up illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication, and gambling, chanting those rounds every day without fail, eating only prasadam, whatever austerities we have to do, rising early, you see, putting on tilak, whatever austerities we have to do, it's worth it. Every bit of it is worth it. So don't hesitate to dive into this process thinking it's too difficult. The reward is unlimited. It's absolutely unlimited, you see. Just like Bill Gates said, if you find yourself at the right time, right place at the right time, then take massive action. So the right place is here, you see. The lotus feet of Prabhupada in the Krishna consciousness movement. The right time is here now, you see. The greatest acharya in the history of the universe has come and he has planted the seed of bhakti in the form of this Krishna consciousness movement. So now what to do? Just dive into it completely. Dive completely into this Krishna consciousness process. And you'll become more successful than Bill Gates, you see. His success is here today, gone tomorrow. But if you take this process with full sincerity, with full determination, with full patience, then you will achieve the association of Krishna directly in his transcendental pastimes upon leaving this body. And you can even achieve it before that. That's pretty amazing. You don't have to wait for death. Prabhupada says in one purport, generally we think that liberation is at death, but actually, even before death, he says, if you follow in the footsteps of Prithu Maharaj, you'll be liberated even before you leave your body. So you don't have to wait for death. Great sages, as Narada Muni, he saw Krishna even within his present body. Not that he had to wait to go back. He actually saw Krishna while he was still in his material body. We'll read that in a few minutes. So, chant sincerely. We have to chant sincerely. Follow these processes very sincerely. And the results that we can achieve are absolutely inconceivable. Sri Narad said, the great sages who had imparted scientific knowledge of transcendence to me departed for other places, and I had to pass my life in this way. I was the only son of my mother, who was not only a simple woman, but a maidservant as well. Since I was her only offspring, she had no other alternative for protection. She bound me with a tie of affection. She wanted to look after my maintenance properly, but because she was not independent, she was not able to do anything for me. The world is under the full control of the Supreme Lord, thus everyone is like a wooden doll in the hands of a puppet master. When I was a mere child of 5 years, I lived in a Brahmana school. I was dependent on my mother's affection and had no experience of different lands. Once upon a time, my poor mother, when going out one night to milk a cow, was bitten on the snake by a serpent, influenced by supreme time. I took this as the special mercy of the Lord who always desires benediction for his devotees. In so thinking, I started for the north. Now that's a very illustrative pastime for us. Was he devastated? His only protection was his mother. His only association with his mother. His mother was bitten, killed by a snake bite. Did he become devastated? He said, I took this as the special mercy of the Lord. So how often do we do that when some devastation comes? We think, Krishna, why are you doing this to me? I'm your devotee. Why you did this to me? Many people write to me. They complain. Why God is doing this to me? I'm his devotee. You see. But just see the mood of the pure devotee Narada Muni. Just see the mood that actually enables one to gain direct access to Krishna. If you have a mood of finding fault with Krishna, why you did this to me, you think you're going to get direct access? I think you're going to have to wait until you get over that attitude of finding fault with Krishna, you see. It's obvious. Narada Muni took it as a blessing when this devastation happened to him. And because of that, he was able to gain direct access to Krishna. So think about it the next time a devastation comes. Instead of being angry, disturbed, just say, Krishna, thank you for blessing me with this devastation. Just try it. It's an amazing thing. It'll help your mind to become peaceful. When something really horrible happens, Krishna, thank you for giving me this. Thank you, Krishna, thank you. Even though it may be artificial, seem artificial, do it anyway. The next time some devastation happens to you, say, Krishna, thank you for this, blessing me in this way. It will really help you to develop deeper understanding. So we headed for the north. That means renunciation. In Vedic culture, heading for the north. In India, that means the Himalayas, you see. After my departure, I passed through many flourishing metropolises, towns, villages, animal forms, mines, agricultural lands, valleys, flower gardens, nursery gardens, and natural forests. I passed through hills and mountains full of reservoirs of various minerals like gold, silver, and copper, and through tracts of land with reservoirs of water filled with beautiful lotus flowers, fit for the denizens of heaven, decorated with bewildered bees and singing birds. I then passed alone through many forests of rushes, bamboo, reeds, sharp grass, weeds, and caves, which were very difficult to go through alone. I visited deep, dark, and dangerously fearful forests, which were the play yards of snakes, owls, and jackals. Thus traveling, I felt tired both bodily and mentally, and I was both thirsty and hungry. So I took a bath in a river lake and also drank water. By contacting water, I got relief from my exhaustion. And after that, under the shadow of a banyan tree in an uninhabited forest, I began to meditate upon the super soul situated within, using my intelligence as I had learned from liberated souls. As soon as I began to meditate upon the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, with my mind transformed in transcendental love, tears flowed down my eyes, and without delay, the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, appeared on the lotus of my heart. O Vyasadeva, at that time, being exceedingly overpowered by feelings of happiness, every part of my body became separately enlivened, being absorbed in an ocean of ecstasy. I could not see both myself and the Lord. The transcendental form of the Lord as it is satisfies the mind's desire and at once erases all mental incongruities. Upon losing that form, I suddenly got up, being perturbed, as is usual when one loses that which is desirable. I desired to see again that transcendental form of the Lord, but despite my attempts to concentrate the heart with eagerness to view the form again, I could not see him anymore. And thus dissatisfied, I was very much aggrieved. Seeing my attempts in that lonely place, the personality of Godhead, who was transcendental to all mundane description, spoke to me with gravity and pleasing words just to mitigate my grief. O Narada, the Lord spoke, I regret that during this lifetime you will not be able to see me anymore. Those who are incomplete in service and are not completely free from all material taints can hardly see me. O virtuous one, you have only once seen my person, and this is just to increase your desire for me. Because the more you hanker for me, the more you'll be freed from all material desires. By service of the absolute truth, Even for a few days, a devotee attains firm and fixed intelligence in me. Consequently, he goes on to become my associate in the transcendental world after giving up the present deplorable material worlds. Intelligence engaged in my devotion cannot be thwarted at any time, even at the time of creation as well as the time of annihilation. Your remembrance will continue by my mercy. Then that supreme authority, personified by sound and unseen by eyes, but most wonderful, stopped speaking. Feeling a sense of gratitude, I offered my humble obeisances unto him, bowing my head. Thus I began chanting the holy name and fame of the Lord by repeated recitation, ignoring all the formalities of the material world, thus chanting and remembering of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord or benedictory. So doing, I traveled all over the earth, fully satisfied, humble, and unenvious. And so, O Brahmana Vyasadeva, in due course of time, I, who was fully absorbed in thinking of Krishna, and who therefore had no attachments, being completely freed from all material taints, met with death, as lightning and illumination occur simultaneously. Having been awarded a transcendental body befitting an associate of the personality of Godhead, I quit the body made of five material elements, and thus all acquired fruitive results of work, karma, stopped. At the end of the millennium, when the personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan, laid down within the water of devastation, Brahma began to enter into him along with all the creative elements, and I also entered through his breathing. After 4,300,000,000 solar years, when Ramama awoke to create again by the will of the Lord, all the rishis like Maricha and Gira Atri and so on were created from the transcendental body of the Lord, and I also appeared along with them. Since then, by the grace of the Almighty Vishnu, I travel everywhere without restriction, both in the transcendental world and in the three divisions of the material world. This is because I am fixed in unbroken devotional service of the Lord. And thus I travel constantly singing the transcendental message of the glories of the Lord, vibrating this instrument called a veena, which is charged with transcendental sound and which was given to me by Lord Krishna. The Supreme Lord Krishna, whose glories and activities are pleasing to hear, at once appears on the seat of my heart as if called for as soon as I begin to chant his holy activities. It is personally experienced by me that those who are always full of cares and anxieties due to desiring the contact of the senses with their objects can cross the ocean of nations on a most suitable boat in the constant chanting of the transcendental activities of the personality of Godhead. It is true that by practicing restraint of the senses by the yoga system, one can get relief from the disturbance of desire and lust, but this is not sufficient to give satisfaction to the soul, for this satisfaction is derived from devotional service to the personality of Godhead. O Vyasadeva, you are freed from all sins. Thus I've explained my birth and activities for self-realization if you have asked. All this will be conducive to your personal satisfaction also. So, pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. He got the darshan of Krishna, but only once, just to increase his hankering, you see. This is called vipralamba, to serve Krishna in separation. This separation mood, actually, it is very, very sweet. It's bittersweet. One time Prabhupada wrote a letter to a disciple who was feeling separation from Prabhupada. He said that feeling of separation from the spiritual master is more tasty than actually meeting him. So this increases the feeling of love, just like in the material world. A boy loves a girl and they have nice dealings with each other. But when they're separated for some reason, for some time, and they're writing letters back and forth, you see, the intensity of love expressed in those emails is more intense than though they would say when they were face to face. So actually that separation increases the feeling of love, that separation. So Krishna blessed Narada Muni by giving him the darshan and then withdrawing himself. So we can understand Prabhupada did the same thing. Prabhupada has blessed us by that separation. And also Krishna did the same thing with the Vrijavasis. You see? The gopis' love increased exponentially when Krishna left from Vrindavan. So, does anybody have any questions?
Can I deviate a little bit?
Yes,
I come from a Judean Christian background, and I've been coming up and on here since the mid-70s. I actually saw Srila Prabhupada when I came to Melbourne. And now, God chose Abraham to extend or create the Jewish race, because he must have lectured or given guidance to Abraham, and because he obeyed God, he was granted certain privileges. Now, what did India or the people of India do to deserve Krishna appearing in India?
What's the question?
It's not a question. He was adding, he had Abraham was given some kind of mercy. So what did make Krishna appear in India? Krishna.
Why did Krishna appear in India?
That's something like that, is it? Yes.
Why was the Indian nation privileged?
Why was Indian nation privileged?
Yes. Because Govardhan and Jamuna were there. That's why Krishna came there. Krishna very much attached to Govardhan and Jamuna. So that because they were present in India there, he went to the blood place.
I have a question regarding his question. Does Krishna need the privilege of coming to a certain place in the world?
Does
he need to be privileged?
No, Krishna doesn't require a visa or a passport. He can come at his sweet will to go anywhere he wants, in any form that he wants. Just like now, Prabhupada said this Hare Krishna movement is an incarnation of Krishna. So now Krishna has appeared in so many places. He's here in Melbourne in the form of this movement. This is a manifestation of Krishna. So many places. Like it is came from Malaysia. Krishna is manifesting like anything in Malaysia now. And we were there, before that we were in South Africa, and then in Mauritius, and then in Bulgaria, and then in London. So many places Krishna is manifesting through the agency of this movement. Next question, is Narada Muni a jiva? Yes, he is a jiva. Does the same Narada Muni appear in every day of Brahma? I don't know. If he keeps coming back again. Previously, he certainly didn't. In a previous life, he wasn't Narada Muni. In that previous life described, he was the son of a maidservant. And before that, he was a pop singer in the heavenly planets. So, for ongoing, he might be doing that, but previously he didn't do that. He was a conditioned soul. How did he get such... Narada Muni was just a singer in a previous life. How he got such association of pure devotees in the next life? I don't know who cursed him, but when you're cursed by a great sage, it's actually also a benediction. Just like Nalukavera and Manigriva, they were cursed to become trees by Narada Muni. But by that curse, they got Krishna's association. So to be cursed by a great sage, of course, that's not our position to curse. We don't have the power to curse. But in the Vedic times, the Brahmanas were so powerful, they could speak one word and nothing could stop it from happening. Even the son of a Brahmana could utter some words and that would have to happen. Whatever they say would happen. That son of Shamaka Rishi, Sringi, seemed to be the son of a Brahmana. He said that Maharaj Pariksit will be killed in 7 days by a snake bird, and Prabhupada said the curse could not be withdrawn. Even the son of a Brahmana. So previously, just by uttering words, There was great power in the words of the Brahmanas in former times, not in this Kali Yuga. But in former times, any word a Brahman speaks, it would come true. Whatever he said would happen. So, whatever curse he was given, it would turn out to be the greatest benediction for him. So he got such association of pure devotees in the next life as a son of a maidservant. How he progressed so fast in spiritual life by the mercy of the great sages. That's how. I see. Because he was blessed by those great sages, he got very rapid advancement in Krishna consciousness. Sarasanga, sarasanga, sarva shastre kai. Sarasanga lavamata sarva siddhi hoi. Yes. By one moment's association with a great saintly person, one can achieve all perfection. So it doesn't take a lot, you see. Even one moment's association gives you the seed of spiritual perfection. And the key is you have to take that seed and do something with it, you see. If you hear, even for one moment, a great saintly person speaking, through your ears, the seed of bhakti has now entered your heart. Now, what will you do with that seed? I see. If you plant a seed in your garden and you don't water it and you don't weed the garden, what will happen? The seed will die. But if you water that seed regularly and you weed the garden carefully, then that seed will grow into a seedling. It'll go into a full-blown plant, and the fruit will come from that plant. So the fruit is love of God, you see. That is the fruit. So if you hear from a great saint, understand you've achieved the ultimate blessing. Now take advantage of it. Regularly chant Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And keep the weeds out of the garden. Illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, gambling. And then Prabhupada also mentions build a strong fence around the garden. Keep out the mad elephant known as offending a Vaishnava, you see. If he will do this, then you'll make very rapid advancements. Some more questions? There's another one here? Okay. What is the meaning of Bhakti Vedantas? In what respect is spiritual master is different from Bhakti Vedantas? In what way is the spiritual master the same as Bhakti Vedantas? Spiritual master means Bhakti Vedanta. That is the meaning. If he's not a Bhaktivedanta, he's not a spiritual master. Actually, Prabhupada, through the Bhakti Shastri, there's a degree, Bhaktivedanta degree. Prabhupada wants us all to inherit the title Bhaktivedanta, actually. That's what he said, for continuing the disciplic succession. He wants us to all inherit this Bhaktivedanta title. So actually, Bhaktivedanta means spiritual master, one who has understood the Vedic conclusion, as stated in Mundaka Upanishad, Shrotiyam Brahmanishtam. Shrotiyam, that's Vedanta. Brahmanishtam, that is Bhakti. So that is the qualification to be a spiritual master. Shrotiyam Brahmanishtam. He must have Vedanta, he must have Bhakti. How do I understand that great acharyas in the Parampara are still present? Okay. Two after the devotees guiding them, protecting them, etc. Okay. Yeah. This is stated by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He reasons ill who tells that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still in sound and living try to spread the holy name around. There are two presences of the Acharya, the spiritual master. One presence is his physical presence. His body, you see. The guru is present, you can bow down to him, you can feed him, you can do his laundry, you know, so many things. Open the door for him. Services, it's very nice. It's like I remember how I got the chance to open the door for Prabhupada. It really felt good because there was 300 devotees there. Everybody's looking for do something personal. I got a chance to open the door for him, or close the door, I forget which it was. So everybody's looking for a chance to serve the spiritual master, you see. That's very nice. But even more important is the Vani association. That's his teachings, his instructions. Prabhupada calls this vibrational presence versus physical presence. Because the spiritual master's body, it is present sometimes, present not sometimes. It's like he comes to your city and then he goes away, or he leaves this world altogether. He leaves his body behind, you see. It's put in samadhi somewhere in Mayapur. And he's not, he personally leaves. His soul goes somewhere else, but actually he remains. He remains in the heart of those who accept his teachings as their very life and soul. Prabhupada said he always felt how his spiritual master was present. He was seeing him, blessing him, guiding him, inspiring him, etc. So there's no question of ever being separated from the spiritual master's vibrational presence from one who has embraced his instructions as their very life and soul. And we see evidence of that. I was at a festival in Atlanta one time. They call it New Panihati Dham, named after the Panihati pastime in Chaitanya Charitamrita. If you've read that, I encourage you to study that pastime. It's really sweet. So they named this their temple after that pastime. And every year they have a big Panihati festival with so many pots of chip rice and yogurt. And it's a really, really enlivening festival. But in the noon aarti at that festival, they have a beautiful Prabhupada-murti, just like here, a full-sized Prabhupada-murti, lifelike Prabhupada-murti. During the noon kirtan, Prabhupada started crying. There were tears coming down his right eye. I personally saw many devotees. We all went and we saw Prabhupada was crying down the right eye. The tears were coming down his eye. You see. He was so enlivened by that kirtan, Prabhupada actually was crying in ecstasy. You see. So Prabhupada is not dead and gone. Prabhupada is present. It's just a matter of he's present for those who restrict. They will those who strictly follow, read his books, and follow his books. They will feel how Prabhupada is present, and they will be blessed by Prabhupada and guided by Prabhupada. How important is the Tulsi Devi's grace? It's absolutely essential. I was just informed that the. There was one rascal commentator who said it's better to plant eggplant than it is to plant Tulsi Devi. What this rascal commentator doesn't realize is you can't eat eggplant unless it's offered to Krishna, otherwise you're eating sin, and Krishna won't accept it unless there's Tulsi Devi offered with it. So this rascal has said better just to plant eggplant instead of Tulsi. Better to plant eggplant and Tulsi. You see, then you're safe. If you eat eggplant with no Tulsi, it means he's not offering it to Krishna and he's eating sin. Whether he's eating egg or eggplant, it's sin, you see, if it's not offered. So Tulsi Devi is very important. Krishna, she's so dear to Krishna, he will not accept your offering unless there's Tulsi leaf. So we can understand how dear is this great devotee, Tulsi Devi. So we worship her every day and pray for her mercy. What would be examples of keeping a strong fence around the garden of bhakti? It's very simple. You'd be very careful never to offend a Vaishnava, you see. And how do you do that? You always be respectful to every Vaishnava, even if there's some difference of opinion. Prabhupada said, amongst devotees, differences of opinion are spiritual. They're not material. So even if there's a difference of opinion, you think, well, they're thinking to serve Krishna in this way, I'm thinking in that way, but we're all thinking how to serve Krishna. So the fence means if you'll always respect devotees, every devotee, the advanced devotees, the intermediate and the neophytes, and those who are even just, no, not even a neophyte devotee yet, even a little ant is respectable by a Vaishnava, you see. By respect, you will have a strong fence around your bhakti creeper so that nothing can damage it. If for some reason the disciple fails to attain Krishna, does the spiritual master come back again to take the disciple back to Krishna? Prabhupada said yes. If a disciple dies before the spiritual master, will he have the same spiritual master in Krishna's abode also? The answer is yes. You will connect with your spiritual master wherever you may be. Once you become a disciple of the bona fide spiritual master, even if he's still in the material world, you'll be able to connect with him in the spiritual world. There's no restriction. But when he becomes a pure devotee, he has full access to Guru and all the previous acharyas, no matter whether he's in the material world or the spiritual world. There's no restriction.
What could be the reason that disciple doesn't go back and the spiritual master has to come back?
What could be the reason? Material attachment.
If somebody loves, wouldn't they give up the other attachment and have the loving attachment?
Well, yes. Let's say you have a dog, for example, and you're very attached to your beloved dog. Prabhupada said you have to take breath as a dog. As an example. Look at Bharat Maharaj. He had to take breath as a deer because he was attached to the deer. So we have to become totally absorbed in attachment to Krishna. That's the point. If you have other attachments, they can oblige you to take breath again. If you're attached to your house, oh, I have this very nice house. I'm very attached to it. Well, you can come back as a cockroach in your house. Yes, so it's very important that we are detached from all these things and we are only attached to Krishna. Of course, there's a natural affection we have for our family members, and that's not to be denied, Prabhupada explains. But we should offer that affection in the service of Krishna, and that will purify us. I'm attached to my wife. It's all right. Use your attachment in making sure that she goes back to Godhead. Yes, sir. You're attached to your children? No problem. Use that attachment to make sure your children go back to Godhead. And that is properly utilizing your attachment. Yes, sir. But don't think that your family is limited to your wife and children and your mother and father and your aunts and uncles and your cousins. That's mundane conception. Your family is all living entities because we're all the children of Krishna. He's our father. Therefore, kindly embrace the broad vision of the universal family because that's our actual family, all living entities throughout the whole existence. We are all one family. So you love your family members and make the world Krishna conscious. Prabhupada said that is the only anxiety of the spiritual master, how to make every single person in the entire world Krishna conscious. That's the only anxiety a spiritual master has, how to make the whole world Krishna conscious. So that's the mood that Prabhupada wants us to develop, the greater family attachment, you see. Prabhupada said, told us, the American devotees, he said, if you have any feeling for your countrymen, then save them. He said, they are dying. So do you love your fellow Aussies? You feel an attachment for your Aussies, brothers and sisters, you see? Then deliver them. Make them Krishna conscious. Make Australia a Krishna conscious country, you see? That is the proper, that is true Australian patriotism, you see? It's like in America, we were trained to be patriotic growing up, you know, hearing the national anthem. Every baseball game, they'd play the national anthem. Oh, say, can you see? You develop this emotion. We were trained to be emotional, get teary-eyed, you know, when you hear the national anthem. You know, we were trained to be have that nationalistic mood, you know. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave? We were trained like that, you know. That's how we were trained. So Papa took that emotion that we were trained, and he didn't deny it. He said, now use that emotion to deliver them. You see? So whatever feeling you have for family, for community, whatever kind of affection you have for this group of people, that group of people, utilize it to save them, you see. Then that purifies you. Okay, so anybody who'd like to get more nectar, we have you can get on the internet and go to www.joincourse.com or backtohome.com. Both of them will work. Joincourse.com or backtohome.com. You get on my free e-course. And every day you'll get nectar in your email. Yeah? What is the ongoing schedule? It's on the bulletin board outside. I'm giving a lecture every night. And I'm giving Bhagavatam class every morning. I'm here for about a week. So please come and let's go deeper and deeper together into this nectarian ocean of Krishna Katha. I'm so happy you all have come tonight. You've been a fantastic audience. You've been hearing very nicely. And that's encouraged me greatly as a speaker to see that everybody is really enlivened by this by the hearing the glories of the greatest Vaishnava, Sri Narada Muni, the liberated spaceman. Srila Narada Muni ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.